IVM.
Hello, welcome to The Origin of Things, or TOOT for short. A short format podcast where I give you the origins, the backstories, slightly dramatized but 100% true, of things that you know, love and use. I reveal what I'm talking about only at the very end, keeping you, the listener, guessing. Or so I hope. In the first two seasons, I've taken you through the stories that have led to some of your favorite brands and the unlikely stories and accidents that got us there. If there's a lesson from this podcast, let it be that great things can come from the most unexpected of places and even some mistakes. This season, however, I'm doing something different and focusing on music, the stories behind some of the most iconic songs that have ever existed. I am your host, Deepak Gopalakrishnan, or as the world calls me, Chuck. The origins of that for another day. Let's move on to today's story. This story involves two characters. Two very different characters who've never spoken to each other, who are decades apart and yet inextricably bound together. One is a musician, the other is a sex worker. The life of a rock star is indeed one of comfort and fame and glamour, but only if you make it big. When you're a struggling musician, things aren't quite as cushy. There's no fancy tour bus or coterie to take care of your needs. You're completely on your own, possibly even hitchhiking to make it from gig to gig, just trying to break even at every show with sloppy, unhealthy food. Our musician was one such, going from gig to gig, traversing a highway in Nebraska. He might have been a musician, but the soundtrack to his life was the numbing sounds of trucks at night. Fleetingly, yes, he would have a sexual encounter, but no time to build a meaningful relationship. It was gig, fling, into the truck, onto the highway, onto the next show, repeat, rinse. Once he got up on stage, he had to pretend his was not a life of struggle. He had to live up to the tag of being a rock star, even if the others in the bar didn't necessarily agree. Oh yes, heckling was part of the job. Our man wasn't exactly traveling to the poshest of venues or those frequented by classic rock enthusiasts. It was more likely he was playing in a seedy venue to an audience who didn't care, or worse, didn't even want him there. Once the gig was done, once the insurance of being on stage was removed, he'd often be heckled in sidey alleys as he was packing to leave. An absolutely terrifying prospect. Commonly, his appearance would be commented on. The long hair, the shiny apparel, while the more inebriated and uncouth would remark that he often resembled a woman. Let's leave the struggling musician here and travel forward in time, around 25 years forward in time, and meet our second protagonist, the sex worker. Now, though the topic might induce some giggles, sex work is no joke. It's hardly ever the first preference of those undertaking the profession. It's hard, brutal, leaves one susceptible to disease and abuse, ostracism by society, and above all, it's not like the pay is all that great. Very often, those who undertake sex work are forced into it, often to support someone else. This is the story of our second protagonist, often living in a motel with her young daughter and her little kitten, often having to make calls to arrange for clients who she would have to pick up from the highway. Perhaps not so far away from the same highway that our musician friend would have had to drive down in a hitchhike truck some 25 years ago. Desperation leading to getting into the car of some questionable character who would be brought back to the same motel, where far from a night of romantic, consensual passion, would see the scum of society treat the lady with disrespect, just using her body, spitting, biting, slapping. And at the end of it, after getting what he wanted, throwing a few crumpled notes away as she lay sobbing in bed, wondering what, how and why her life led her down this path. A path that paid so little, she needed to take a second job as a stripper and an entertainer, where she too, like her musician friend, would be put up on a stage with a persona being heckled by the sidiest of audiences, again with frequent comments on her appearance and at times ostensible androgyny. While she might have entered the strip club with sexy apparel and a whip, while she might have done herself up trying to pick up clients a few hours later, her real life was anything but glamorous. Her real life was anything but comfortable. Her day would often end being comforted by her young daughter, who would often be in the next room with her kitten, trying to insulate her ears from the slaps and the shrieks. A young woman who, even at her young, tender age, had already seen too much and understood too much. Someone who should have been playing with her kitten and other friends, but instead embraced her mother silently. Thankful she did what she did to provide for her, so she wouldn't have to go through the same thing when she was her mother's age. It's a gut-wrenching, heartbreaking story, yet one that hardly might be unique. If you thought there were parallels to these stories, those of the musician and the sex worker, you're not wrong. Both have had a hard time out on the road, have to dress up, put on personas, have remarks passed about their appearance, face uncertain futures, and in fact, you could even tell they're two completely different stories using the same song and the very same lyrics. I now need to introduce you to three real-life people who will string the rest of this episode together. The first story, that of the musician, was a fictional tale but inspired by reality. Robert, a real-life musician, a singer-songwriter often seen with an acoustic guitar, had several such incidents on the road that eventually made its way into the lyrics of a song. Around the same time as Robert would write the song, a young man called James, all of 9 years old, would start learning the piano. It's an instrument that he would continue playing even 36 years later. Then the third person would be Jonas. Not a musician, but let's just say that the character he connected the most from everything I've narrated to you so far would actually be the little girl. Yes, the little girl playing with the kitten. So, just to recap, there are two fictional characters, the struggling musician and the sex worker, and their scarily parallel lives. Then there are three real-life characters, Robert, the acoustic guitar player, James, the piano player, and Jonas. Let's talk about Jonas. Jonas wasn't really a musician. He was a director, a film director, a short film director, and of some repute, I must add, for he did work for Madonna, The Prodigy, Roxette, and many more. Among those many more would be the band that eventually James would start, the one that James eventually would play piano for. All right. Enough build-up, time to reveal. Remember a while back I said the stories of the two fictional characters could be told using the very same song and the very same lyrics? Well, that's because it was. Robert Seger had not yet attained fame when he wrote the lyrics to the song that would come to define him. Once he did, though, the song he would write would be covered by many, many musicians. 25 years later, a young drummer who had achieved worldwide success would hear the song and say, "You know what? This song would be perfect with James singing." James, of course, being our pianist friend, who was also the vocalist of the band. Of course, I stretched the truth a little bit when I said James is a pianist. He is, but that's not the instrument that got him fame. James is primarily a guitarist, a heavy metal guitarist, and a vocalist with one of the most identifiable voices this side of 1980. James's band covered Robert's song word for word, adding heavy guitars and making it an absolute sensation. Or at least they created the song for the music video directed by Jonas Åkerlund that became a sensation. Featuring the adult film actress Ginger Lynn as the protagonist, a stripper-cum-sex worker struggling to make ends meet. The video, which was partly based on Jonas' own life, was astonishing and so powerfully told the story of the sex worker with exactly the same lyrics as the song that was used for the struggling musician. And that's how Robert Seger, Bob Seger, of course, had his song reimagined, not just by James, that would be James Hetfield of Metallica, of course, but also Jonas Åkerlund, the director. Turn the page. See you next week with another episode from The Origin of Things. If you like this podcast, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can listen to us and all our shows on the IVM Podcast app or ivmpodcast.com. You can also follow us on social media. We are at IVM Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to reach out to me, that's Chuck_Gopal on Twitter and Chuck of All Trades on Instagram. All links in the show notes of this episode. See you next week.